Intergalactic planet every planet every intergalactic.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back hour number two of the big show. Raheel in for Barry. Nick, Joel, Thursday. FEF Friday coming tomorrow. Just mark your calendars, as always. Just going over some news of the day. Obviously, the big news from a baseball perspective here locally, the Astros finally get off the schneid, stopping a nine-game home losing streak. The bats were broken out in a big way as both Evan Gattis and Tyler White went deep twice. They went off to get that last win at home to prevent the donut before they hit the road. Now, with the A's losing in 12 innings to the Mariners, thankfully, yesterday, Stroh's back to a two-game lead. Huge series with the A's opens tomorrow in the Bay Area.
Yeah, that was a much-needed sign and just, hey, get that pressure off of you. Now you go on the road where you are fantastic,
yep,
right?
Better than the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's incredible to see what they do on the road and against AL West opponents. They're really good on the road. And as I mentioned on SportsMap earlier this week, I know it's bad. And with this core, August has never been a good month.
Last year, it hasn't. Look at it. Yeah, last year was awful.
It was awful. And moreover, the home record has not been good in August. So all that being said, you got six games with the A's. You go 4-2 against them, and you've got three against Seattle. You take two out of three on the road against them, and you're doing just fine.
Seattle, you already know Paxton just got hurt. He has the mojo against you. He's 4-0 on the year. He's out. I'll take your chances. I'll take my chances with the Astros against anybody else that they throw at him. Springer's coming back up, due to get ready. He's due to play, if not the first game, the second game in Oakland, which means that the one-time untouchable Derek Fisher goes back down because, good Lord, his offense is terrible. So he's back down. Springer's back up. Altuve took BP last night. Don't know still any kind of diagnosis or prognosis as to when he returns, but at least he did some fielding and swung the bat a little bit because that one scares me.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't care about five straight seasons with 200 hits and what's in jeopardy there. I care about the fact that if he's not in the lineup come postseason time or when they really come down the stretch, this team is a totally different ball club. And we've seen it. We talked about it. I mean, I did my sports map column on regardless of whether he comes back or not, and all the guys that are on the injured reserve come back from the DL in time, they should still go out and get a bat because it's like having supplemental insurance. Go out and get you one more bat because what we've seen is Tony Kemp, who every time he got called up before never could hit, he can hit. Right? But if you look at White and you look at Davis and you look at Fisher and you look at Tucker, none of these guys are ready for the primetime lights yet. And you're talking about the biggest stage at the time when it's most important. There are guys out there that you can go get off the waiver wire trade before the waiver wire trade deadline that could really help you. I mean, I don't know that the Rangers want to help the Astros, but Adrian Beltre is a guy. Yeah. Been there, done that. Even if he's your DH, sure, Gattis had two bombs last night. Gattis is still not where he was, even when he got the hot streak middle of the summer, and he's where he normally is in terms of average. I think one extra bat that could fill in the outfield, I'm not saying Beltre could fill in the outfield, but you can always put Marwin there. Mm-hmm. He can roll around the infield, do whatever. He could play third. Bregman can obviously move around. But I would go get, especially if it's Altuve, I would really consider Beltre because of the fact that you can slide Bregman to second, Correa at short, Beltre at third, and he's a stick. You're good there. And if we know Altuve is going to be okay, then go get yourself an outfielder slash DH with some experience that's a veteran that can step up and give you some insurance.
You know, the fact that we haven't heard the Houston Astros name linked to a lot of the guys that could be potentially available for the waiver deadline,
right.
It tells me that maybe internally they know that the Altuve injury, the Springer injury, it's something that won't bother them the rest of the season, but it is okay to be cautious with them right
True.
Now. It's
right.
okay to be cautious. We can take a little extra time. It's all right. No reason to rush back. Yeah, it's tight. The division is tight. But guess what? The teams get better. It's not always going to be a blowout like last year. So they're prepared and they feel okay that these guys are going to be there and they'll be healthy not only for the end of the season, but also for the playoffs. So when you hear, like, normally you hear about teams being linked to certain guys, right?
Right.
The Justin Verlander stuff last year was always linked. Like, the Astros are doing this. The Astros could be looking at him. There's always something there. There's always a little smoke. The fact that there's no smoke means that they're okay. We're fine.
I think that they, I mean, and again, and I talked about it with Randy, and Randy actually brought it up. Randy McAvoy brought it up on Channel 2, that there is no sense of urgency. There's no contemplating the what if of them not making the playoffs or not being the division champion. That's good that there's that quiet confidence that the team itself has, but no one else has that. I mean, the fan base, although they're not jumping on the ledge yet, but the fan base is starting. They've tweeted me. They're pressing the panic button. They're worried. They're concerned. And I think that you make a great point that Luno has to take in consideration, which is this isn't last year's team. This isn't the runaway division leaders that are just waiting for the playoffs to start, that can rest guys and get guys ready just so that they're healthy for the postseason. And the last thing that you need is to start really putting taxing innings on pitchers and really grinding out guys late in the season when you know that the most important time of the year is that second season and you want to be ready for that. You'd hate to be in the middle of a pennant race where you can't do that because you have to ensure yourself that security of winning the division.
Here's the other thing. In September last year, they only lost 7 games before the playoffs. So when September 2nd, their first game of the month, and until the Red Sox series, they only lost 7 games. So this team understands that it needs to start peaking at the right time also. They went on 3 different runs. They won multiple games in a row, 5-plus games in a row. So it's okay. I know it just feels like it's panic time right now. But when history says that this team is not good in August because of injuries, because of slumps, whatever it may be, then understand that history also says that they might be okay in September again.
Right.
Things will be okay.
Yeah, because they righted the ship there. Mm-hmm. They can right the ship again. I mean, look, the Yankees just went through all of this as well. The Yankees were losing games. Then they lost Judge. They suffered with, you know, some people that are saying they could fall right out of the playoff picture. Now, we all know they're not going to catch the Red Sox, but they've stabilized enough, put a couple of little mini winning streaks together, and no one's now doubting whether they're going to be one of the wild card teams. So the Astros can do the same thing. I like the fact that because A.J. Hinch is a very mild-mannered and very even-keeled guy, that he's never going to be too high, too low, and he's got them on the right page. And it seems like when you hear them in interviews, they're on board with that because they need to have that confidence.
Yeah.
But overall, as a fan base, and for us watching this team, you go back to the what-ifs if they didn't get Verlander last year. Might have been totally different. So when you have the chance and you're this close and you look at teams like the old Florida Marlins, you only get so many opportunities. So whenever you're in that chance and circumstances are different, you don't need a starting pitcher this year, but you could use a bat. Go out and get it, because by the time you develop some of these guys in the farm system, it may be too late and you may not be in contention anymore. Because the thing that I heard Fred and AJ talking about this yesterday, the names that you hear that were untouchable a year ago could be touched, grabbed, strangled, anything you wanted. Martez, who was the most untouchable pitcher in the system over a year ago, is undergoing Tommy John surgery. May never be the same player again. Derek Fisher, who was Kyle Tucker before Kyle Tucker. Now you could have him for a bag of chips and a player that might be able to help him this year. So, and Kyle Tucker, we saw it. Untouchable. No one, they're not giving the future away to trade this guy. Mm-hmm. What it looks like so far is he's not ready for primetime. Now, he may be able to right the ship, but right now, he doesn't look like he's going to help you anytime soon.
I was hoping after they sent him down and then he came back up, sometimes it just takes that adjustment, right? You go back, everything's good. You know they're not going to trade you or anything still. Like, right. You can still work on your mechanics, get back, and I thought he would just light it up. Like, Mariznick does that, right? Like, you send him back, and Mariznick will come back. Oh, there's a homer, and then he gets kind of hot. And
right.
Then
at least for a
good.
Little while, he goes above his means and then comes back. You're right. And you look at, I don't know about you, every time I look at Tucker, I just look like this young kid. I hope he matures and fills out a little bit. Mm-hmm. He just looks like the other night, he had warning track power. He just absolutely barreled one up. And Charlie Blackmon caught it on the warning track, and I think he thought it was gone, too. And it's like, this isn't AAA. This isn't smaller stadiums. And up here, you got to be really fizz. Look at Springer. Mm-hmm. I was amazed. I did an event with Springer about a year ago. I was amazed after just watching him on TV. When you're in person with that guy, dude's built like a football player.
Oh, yeah.
He's a leadoff hitter in only that sense of the term, because other than that, that dude is an athlete, and he's a rock, and he's a big dude, and in Major League Baseball now, you have to have that kind of mass, athleticism, and durability. I don't see that in Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. He's just his swing, right? It's so beautiful, and that's what you hope. Like that swing with the muscle that comes as you get that man strength is going to take you to the next level. And the other thing that gives me hope about him is it's always different with each prospect. It's always different with each guy that gets called up and the route that they take. But Bregman, when he was first called up, it was like, this is the guy that they didn't want to trade
for like his first 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And
it was rough. It was rough. But, you know, as you settle in, as you see more pitches, you understand some things. The dude is a beast, right? So that gives me hope also that maybe a prospect like this just needs a little time. And unfortunately, because Altuve's gone, Springer's gone right now, you feel like you don't have the time.
Right.
But if everyone was healthy, he has the time.
I say this all the time about prospects. I say this about lottery picks in the NBA as well. That, you know, prospects are that. They start, and that word starts with a P. The other one is potential. And both of them are there, but that's what you're drafting these guys for. That's what you're kind of developing them for. But at the same time, for as much potential turns out to be superstardom or very much a success in the big leagues, potential can also ruin a general manager and an organization and a franchise if they don't pan out. And that's a legitimate 50-50 proposition in most cases. You just hope that these guys get it eventually. It's not just one of those cut and dried, he's just never going to be the guy we thought he was. So we'll continue to roll on. Patrick, we see you. We'll get you after the break. We'll get you in here. We'll talk what you want to talk about, and as well as anybody else, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's Raheel, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back hour number two of the big show. Raheel in for Barry. Nick, Joel, Thursday. FEF Friday coming tomorrow. Just mark your calendars, as always. Just going over some news of the day. Obviously, the big news from a baseball perspective here locally, the Astros finally get off the schneid, stopping a 9-game home losing streak. The bats were broken out in a big way as both Evan Gattis and Tyler White went deep twice. They went off to get that last win at home to prevent the donut before they hit the road. Now, with the A's losing in 12 innings to the Mariners, thankfully, yesterday, Stroh's back to a 2-game lead. Huge series with the A's opens tomorrow in the Bay Area.
Yeah, that was a much-needed sign and just, hey, get that pressure off of you. Now you go on the road where you are fantastic, right?
Yep, better than the Red Sox.
Yeah, it's incredible to see what they do on the road and against AL West opponents. They're really good on the road. And as I mentioned on SportsMap earlier this week, I know it's bad. And with this core, August has never been a good month.
Last year, last year was awful.
It was awful. And moreover, the home record has not been good in August. So all that being said, you got 6 games with the A's. You go 4-2 against them, and you've got 3 against Seattle. You take 2 out of 3 on the road against them, and you're doing just fine.
Seattle, you already know Paxton just got hurt. He has the mojo against you. He's 4-0 on the year. He's out. I'll take your chances. I'll take my chances with the Astros against anybody else that they throw at him. Springer's coming back up, due to get ready. He's due to play, if not the first game, the second game in Oakland, which means that the one-time untouchable Derek Fisher goes back down because, good Lord, his offense is terrible. So he's back down. Springer's back up. Altuve took BP last night. Don't know still any kind of diagnosis or prognosis as to when he returns, but at least he did some fielding and swung the bat a little bit because that one scares me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care about 5 straight seasons with 200 hits and what's in jeopardy there. I care about the fact that if he's not in the lineup come postseason time or when they really come down the stretch, this team is a totally different ball club. And we've seen it. We talked about it. I mean, I did my sports map column on regardless of whether he comes back or not, and all the guys that are on the injured reserve come back from the DL in time, they should still go out and get a bat because it's like having supplemental insurance. Go out and get you one more bat, because what we've seen is Tony Kemp, who every time he got called up before never could hit, he can hit, right? But if you look at White and you look at Davis and you look at Fisher and you look at Tucker, none of these guys are ready for the primetime lights yet. And you're talking about the biggest stage at the time when it's most important. There are guys out there that you can go get off the waiver wire trade before the waiver wire trade deadline that could really help you. I mean, I don't know that the Rangers want to help the Astros, but Adrian Beltre is a guy. Been there, done that. Even if he's your DH, sure, Gattis had two bombs last night. Gattis is still not where he was, even when he got the hot streak middle of the summer, and he's where he normally is in terms of average. I think one extra bat that could fill in the outfield. I'm not saying Beltre could fill in the outfield, but you can always put Marwin there. Mm-hmm. He can roll around the infield, do whatever. He could play third. Bregman can obviously move around. But I would go get, especially if it's Altuve, I would really consider Beltre, because of the fact that you can slide Bregman to second, Correa at short, Beltre at third, and he's a stick. You're good there. And if we know Altuve is going to be okay, then go get yourself an outfielder slash DH with some experience that's a veteran that can step up and give you some insurance.
You know, the fact that we haven't heard the Houston Astros name linked to a lot of the guys that could be potentially available for the waiver deadline,
right.
It tells me that maybe internally they know that the Altuve injury, the Springer injury, it's something that won't bother them the rest of the season, but it is okay to be cautious with them. Right.
True.
Now, it's
right.
Okay to be cautious. We can take a little extra time. It's all right. No reason to rush back. Yeah, it's tight. The division is tight. But guess what? The teams get better. It's not always going to be a blowout like last year. So they're prepared and they feel okay that these guys are going to be there and they'll be healthy not only for the end of the season, but also for the playoffs. So when you hear, like, normally, you hear about teams being linked to certain guys, right?
Right.
The Justin Verlander stuff last year was always linked. Like, the Astros are doing this. The Astros could be looking at him. There's always something there. There's always a little smoke. The fact that there's no smoke means that they're okay. We're fine.
I think that and I talked about it with Randy, and Randy actually brought it up. Randy McAvoy brought it up on Channel 2, that there is no sense of urgency. There's no contemplating the what if of them not making the playoffs or not being the division champion. That's good that there's that quiet confidence that the team itself has, but no one else has that. I mean, the fan base, although they're not jumping on the ledge yet, but the fan base is starting. They've tweeted me. They're pressing the panic button. They're worried. They're concerned. And I think that you make a great point that Luno has to take in consideration, which is this isn't last year's team. This isn't the runaway division leaders that are just waiting for the playoffs to start, that can rest guys and get guys ready just so that they're healthy for the postseason. And the last thing that you need is to start really putting taxing innings on pitchers and really grinding out guys late in the season when you know that the most important time of the year is that second season and you want to be ready for that. You'd hate to be in the middle of a pennant race where you can't do that because you have to ensure yourself that security of winning the division.
Here's the other thing. In September last year, they only lost 7 games before the playoffs. So when September 2nd, their first game of the month, and until the Red Sox series, they only lost 7 games. So this team understands that it needs to start peaking at the right time also. They went on 3 different runs. They won multiple games in a row, 5-plus games in a row. So it's okay. I know it just feels like it's panic time right now. But when history says that this team is not good in August because of injuries, because of slumps, whatever it may be, then understand that history also says that they might be okay in September again.
Right.
Things will be okay.
Yeah, because they righted the ship there. Mm-hmm. They can right the ship again. I mean, look, the Yankees just went through all of this as well. The Yankees were losing games. Then they lost Judge. They suffered with, you know, some people that are saying they could fall right out of the playoff picture. Now, we all know they're not going to catch the Red Sox, but they've stabilized enough, put a couple of little mini winning streaks together, and no one's now doubting whether they're going to be one of the wild card teams. So the Astros can do the same thing. I like the fact that, because A.J. Hinch is a very mild-mannered and very even-keeled guy, that he's never going to be too high, too low, and he's got them on the right page. And it seems like when you hear them in interviews, they're on board with that because they need to have that confidence.
Yeah.
But overall, as a fan base, and for us watching this team, you go back to the what-ifs if they didn't get Verlander last year. Might have been totally different. So when you have the chance and you're this close and you look at teams like the old Florida Marlins, you only get so many opportunities. So whenever you're in that chance and circumstances are different, you don't need a starting pitcher this year, but you could use a bat. Go out and get it, because by the time you develop some of these guys in the farm system, mm-hmm. it may be too late. You may not be in contention anymore. Because the thing that I heard Fred and AJ talking about this yesterday, the names that you hear that were untouchable a year ago could be touched, grabbed, strangled, anything you wanted. Martez, who was the most untouchable pitcher in the system over a year ago, is undergoing Tommy John surgery. May never be the same player again. Derek Fisher, who was Kyle Tucker before Kyle Tucker. Now you could have him for a bag of chips and a player that might be able to help him this year. So, and Kyle Tucker, we saw it. Untouchable. No one, they're not giving the future away to trade this guy. Mm-hmm. What it looks like so far is he's not ready for prime time. Now, he may be able to right the ship, but right now, he doesn't look like he's going to help you anytime soon.
I was hoping after they sent him down and then he came back up, sometimes it just takes that adjustment, right? You go back, everything's good. You know they're not gonna trade you or anything. Still, like right. You can still work on your mechanics, get back, and I thought he would just light it up. Like Mariznick does that, right? Like you send him back, and Mariznick will come back. Oh, there's a homer, and then he gets kind of hot, and
right?
Then
at least for a
good.
Little while, yeah. He goes above his means, yeah. And then comes back. You're right. And you look at, I don't know about you, every time I look at Tucker, I just look like this young kid. I hope he matures and fills out a little bit. Mm-hmm. He just looks like the other night he had warning track power. He just absolutely barreled one up. And Charlie Blackmon caught it on the warning track. And I think he thought it was gone, too. And it's like, this isn't AAA. This isn't smaller stadiums. And up here, you got to be really physical. Look at Springer. Mm-hmm. I was amazed. I did an event with Springer about a year ago. I was amazed after just watching him on TV. When you're in person with that guy, dude's built like a football player.
Oh, yeah.
He's a leadoff hitter in only that sense of the term. Because other than that, that dude is an athlete. And he's a rock. And he's a big dude. And in Major League Baseball now, you have to have that kind of mass athleticism and durability. I don't see that in Kyle Tucker.
Yeah, I can't wait to see. He's just his swing, right? It's so beautiful. And that's what you hope, like that swing with the muscle that comes as you get that man strength is going to take you to the next level. And the other thing that gives me hope about him is it's always different with each prospect. It's always different with each guy that gets called up and the route that they take. But Bregman, when he was first called up, it was like, this is the guy that they didn't want to trade
for like his first 18 or 19.
Yeah.
And
It was rough. It was rough. But, you know, as you settle in, as you see more pitches, you understand some things. The dude is a beast, right? So that gives me hope also that maybe a prospect like this just needs a little time. And unfortunately, because Altuve's gone, Springer's gone right now, you feel like you don't have the time.
Right.
But if everyone was healthy, he has the time.
I say this all the time about prospects. I say this about lottery picks in the NBA as well. That, you know, prospects are that. They start, and that word starts with a P. The other one is potential. And both of them are there, but that's what you're drafting these guys for. That's what you're kind of developing them for. But at the same time, for as much potential turns out to be superstardom or very much a success in the big leagues, potential can also ruin a general manager and an organization and a franchise if they don't pan out. And that's a legitimate 50-50 proposition in most cases. You just hope that these guys get it eventually. It's not just one of those cut and dried, he's just never going to be the guy we thought he was. So we'll continue to roll on. Patrick, we see you. We'll get you after the break. We'll get you in here. We'll talk what you want to talk about, and as well as anybody else, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's Raheel, Nick, Joel, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
The Sugar Land Skeeters are back for another exciting homestand. Join us for another Margarita and Dollar Dog Monday. Plus, Mondays are Military Mondays. Fans with military ID get in free. Tuesdays are two for Tuesdays, so buy one, get one field box tickets. Then on Wednesdays, kids 12 and under get free admission. Don't miss out on Thirsty Thursdays, $2 beer and sodas. Fridays are always exciting with post-game fireworks shows. Sugarland Skeeters games are always affordable family fun. Check out the schedule and get your tickets now at SugarlandSkeeters.com.
Houston, Texas. There's a new sheriff in town when it comes to buying cars. GiveMeTheVIN.com. Put in your license plate or your VIN number. We'll bid your car immediately. If we don't beat your CarMax offer, I'll send you a check for $100. I'm the best car buyer in town, period, in a story. GiveMeTheVIN.com. Go to the website. If we don't beat your written CarMax offer, I'll send you a check for $100. I don't know how else to prove it to you.
Sell us your car. GiveMeTheVIN.com. So easy you can do it in your underwear.
Always the high.
our family, let's face it, there's only one hottest, coolest time. Parking and tubes are free, and Schlitterbahn lets you bring a picnic. Schlitterbahn Water Park, Galveston. Get discounted tickets at schlitterbahn.com.
We can go where the rivers connect us. We can go where the current takes us. Bring the good times home. Let's go to Schlitterbahn.
When it comes to the success of your small business, you make every dollar count. So what could you do with $10? It may not sound like a lot of money, but it's enough to turn 500 strangers into 500 connections. All it takes is the right business card. Go to Vistaprint.com today, and you'll get 500 high-quality custom business cards for only $9.99. You heard right, 500 business cards for $9.99. That's less than 2 cents per card. But don't let the price fool you. Vistaprint uses only carefully selected inks and paper stocks, so your satisfaction is absolutely guaranteed every time for any reason. You'll find dozens of designs that are just right for your business at Vistaprint, and you can add your logo and contact information with just a few clicks. It's never been easier to turn strange into connections. Just visit Vistaprint and start today, because this offer won't last forever. Get your 500 business cards for just $9.99 at Vistaprint.com. Use promo code 999 at checkout. That's Vistaprint.com, promo code 999.
Did you know there's a new Hyatt in town? Did you also know it's the perfect place to hold your next event? The Hyatt Regency Houston Galleria location is just steps from the Galleria Mall. It's spacious, modern, and features the latest technology. Hosting a meeting here will leave a lasting impression on your clients. It's also the perfect place to treat yourself to a staycation. That's the Hyatt Regency Houston Galleria, located in the heart of Uptown. Find out more at HyattRegencyHoustonGalleria.com.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, still rolling along. Hour number two, 3 hour show. Having some fun. Raheel in for Barry, Nick and myself. Appreciate you along for the ride as well, as you guys are tweeting and texting and going along with the conversation that we've been having. We were talking Astros before the break. Off today, start a series against the A's tomorrow. If you're interested, Charlie Morton and Edwin Jackson in the first pitching matchup of the series. So definitely worth keeping an eye on as the Astros. The Astros now only lead the A's by 2 games for the division, so we'll keep an eye on that. Patrick wanted to get in here. He was waiting before the break. We appreciate it. Overrated sports play. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, guys. Good to listen to you as always. So one of the things I like to do, if I missed a whole day of, like, SportsCenter or whatever, I always try to at least catch the, the top 10 plays. Mm-hmm. But for a while now, I've had an issue, and I wonder what you guys think. What is the most overrated sports play? Is it, in my opinion, is it either robbing a home run or a WNBA dunk?
Robbing a home run.
I don't think robbing a home run is overrated. I think it's awesome.
If you've ever played, like, even in beer league, softball, just pick up with the buddies. If you've ever played outfield.
If you've thrown someone out or you've made a hell of a catch, that's never going to get old.
Yeah,
people love
dope.
That.
It's pretty hard. WNBA dunk, you know, that's an interesting one, because every once in a while we're like, oh, this, you know, this lady can dunk, this woman, or this 15-year-old girl can dunk.
I got one for you. You mentioned the junior NBA. They have the junior WNBA. There is a girl in the junior WNBA who dunked. That's impressive.
How tall is she? 6'10"?
I don't know what tall she is, but she's tall enough to dunk, it was impressive.
A dunk is always impressive to me. I don't care. And, like, John has this issue, too. Granato does this every once in a while. Oh, so you're telling me the 6'10 guy threw down a dunk. Impressive. And I'm like, yeah, but it's so – we've met plenty of 6'8", 6'6", 6'10 guys that can't do that.
Right.
Like Zion Williamson yesterday. I don't know if you saw the highlights yesterday.
The free throw line?
So he did a free throw line dunk in practice,
right?
They're doing their tour, like preseason tour, where they're allowed to travel internationally.
Duke is international, yeah.
But they played some school in Canada, and he had a putback dunk where he came across the entire right side of the paint, catches it, throws it down on the other side of the rim left-handed. And he's a lefty. He's one of the best jumpers.
It was insane.
Right?
I saw it on Twitter. It was insane.
I can't believe he did it, right?
I told Nick this, and I hate doing this, but I did come out and say this. He is the closest thing that we have seen to LeBron, the second coming of LeBron, in terms of that size, that athleticism, with the ability to jump like that, how high, how long he stays in the air. That dude is freakishly athletic.
285, and he can get up about 12,
he
12
weighs 285?
Yes.
Because LeBron, and he's already when he was he's probably out of high built school, bigger was maybe than LeBron. 265.
Yeah.
In high school, he was LeBron. He was a little bit tinier in high school, wouldn't you?
Yeah. But I thought he was still around 260 because they were saying, you know, he's got a tight end's body in football, but he can fly. Well, Zion Williamson makes everybody look like silly mere mortals. He can. Yeah. Athletically, that dude is crazy, crazy gifted.
Like, right now, his playing weight is what, like 265 for real?
LeBron?
Yeah.
I'd go a little higher. I maybe say 275.
In high school, he was yoked, okay? But he wasn't.
Right.
Like, now LeBron's a tank.
Yeah.
Like,
Don Casey didn't even believe he was 18 years old and literally in an interview asked to see his birth certificate. That's how developed LeBron James was coming out of high school. Like, that's how, like, he was built like a mature man, not someone at 18.
And there's always going to be detractors and haters because there's a lot of people that found out and did research that the NBA doesn't do drug testing and testing like the NFL does, because I think, quite frankly, you don't think that people playing basketball are going to take things to try and be bigger,
right?
You know, and more muscular. But the fact of the matter is, regardless of, you know, what was in the process or whatever, it's just, it was unheard of to find a high school kid in the 260s that could do things athletically like we saw out of LeBron. And now you're seeing it's almost getting to be where, not necessarily the norm, but most kids come out looking more like ready college players, if not NBA guys. But Zion Williamson is the exception. He is freakishly athletic.
285, 6'10".
Jeez. And took off from the free throw line the other day.
Right, I saw that too.
Easily. That was impressive.
He chased down a block yesterday where some kid was like, oh, wide open layup, and Zion is probably at half court. The kid is maybe by the free throw line. Dude chased him down and pinned it at 12 foot. He pinned it that high. They called the goaltending because I think they felt bad for the kid. But
Let's just give him the 2 points. Come on. It's
crazy to see that kind of jump and bounce in a kid that heavy, 285. It's amazing.
I'll tell you the other one that can fly, and the Knicks really screwed this up, but Dennis Smith.
Oh, did you see this morning?
Yes.
At a camp or something?
So the Mavs got him. Everybody, including LeBron, had said that Dennis Smith Jr. should have never gotten by the Knicks, who passed on him, and instead went to the Mavericks. And they said after – the crazy thing is the video doesn't even touch on this, but if you read the article, he played full court for 2 hours.
Yeah.
And at the end, someone was just kind of throwing him kind of – alley-oops. He goes up to where his chin is above the rim, and with his arms above the square, he grabs the ball and just, I mean, he doesn't even hit the rim. He just power throws it through the, and you're like, they did a freeze frame on it, and you're like, do you realize how high he is?
He was probably training with those jump soles that I was using back in the
exactly
day.
Exactly what I thought, too, yeah.
For sure.
Jump soles. We talked about that this morning.
I heard you guys this morning talking about it.
Oh, y'all did?
Yeah.
We talked about it when, like, a couple days. Oh, it was when Barry.
A couple days ago, yeah.
I used to wear it working out, I would just have it on, like, bench pressing, going, walking.
So you had a pair, too?
I had a pair, too.
Yeah, see, I wasn't the only one, Joel.
How tall? Dennis Smith Jr.
I'm going to say he's a six-footer?
6'4".
6'3".
Close enough.
6'3", man. He threw the ball two-handed, like you mentioned. Like that's what DeAndre Jordan would do.
Right, but it didn't hit the rim, Nick. I mean, he took both hands, cocked it.
It's nuts.
Threw it as hard as he could, and he was so far up that he could throw it through the rim and see it go without touching the rim.
It's amazing. That's God-gifted stuff, though. I mean, I'm sure you can train and teach yourself to jump a little bit higher, but that's a gift, dude. You can't.
It's unreal. I always tell this to my brother. I go, man, just... I would give up everything I own, just to throw down in a game like Russell Westbrook does. When he comes down the lane,
that angry,
and then he cocks it back right-handed.
Fearless.
But just I'll one say this. Time. I'll risk it like everything.
To Patrick's point, too, the thing is SportsCenter has ruined a lot of us. because SportsCenter, and this was a big Bobby Knight thing back in the day too, but you know, they're always talking about how do you make players better. And he was always harping on this too, because of SportsCenter, because all you really do on SportsCenter is all you see are dunks and threes. And in baseball, like Patrick was talking about, you know, home runs and Robin home runs. And a lot gets lost in translation about how to actually play the game and play it fundamentally soundly and do all these different things. And that was a negative product of what we were being given to see on TV. And that's, to some degree, that's true. Because even Kevin McHale would say, you know, when he was general manager of the Timberwolves, he's trying to get guys that are going to be all around great players for his franchise. And the kids, especially, he took a Garnett at 19. He took these young kids. And the thing is the kids, all they see is SportsCenter. So they think the only way they're going to get noticed, the only way they're going to get a scholarship, or the only way they're going to get, you know, NBA guys to look at possibly being a number one pick is to do the things you're going to see on SportsCenter and not all the little things. And that was frustrating to some of the old school guys.
Speaking of SportsCenter, that's a great, I have nothing to add to that because that's perfect. Speaking of SportsCenter, well, ESPN, Awful Announcing put this up, and I don't know if you guys saw this, but the NFL Countdown show, you guys remember? Yeah. Tom Jackson, yeah, yeah. Berman. They're thinking about bringing Berman back.
See, Barry and I and Nick have had this discussion before, and Barry's very anti-Berman.
Yeah, he's not a big fan.
I think he, obviously Berman is a legend at ESPN, right? I think that the nickname thing had kind of ran its course, but I think the way he does highlights, especially if Tom Jackson is there, cause you know, Tom, they didn't renew his contract, but if those two guys do it together, I mean, people forget the names, but Berman was the first one to do the whoop, whoop, yeah. You know, and all the different little, his own sound effects on highlights. That's fun. He still does it better than most from that degree, as long as he doesn't cheese it up sometimes.
You know what Berman, what made me hate him? And like, I hate when he's on.
His comb over?
I just don't like him. It's not anything that he does on TV. Okay. It was when those tapes of him released you figure out like he's just a big D-weed.
Yeah, like right? Bill like, O'Reilly, he's just horrible. Like in the breaks and whatever. He just undressed people on the staff.
So like that made me like, dude, you're such a phony that when you try to do this, like, whoop, and I'm having so much, I love sports and all this, but you're over there just berating people.
Yeah, cussing
that
at
to
them
me,
too.
I was like, I'm done with you. I'm out. That, like, ugh, I hope you never get a job.
I never
again.
Understood that part in this business, though, because I feel like we're all here because this is fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And the second it's not fun anymore, why do you want to be here? Like, why do you want to be in this business or talk about sports? And that's why I never understood, because he's not the only one at ESPN that has that reputation. There's a lot of on air hosts at Bristol that are known to do that. Well, and there's tape of it and everything. But
fame is a monster, man.
During the Super Bowl, and some of my best friends were in, and we were trying to hit up every event, every party, whatever. On more than one occasion, Berman was hammered, and he was not holding back on the females. He was and he wanted everybody to know he was Chris Berman. And that's the kind of thing where what you were saying, Raheel, is like, come on, man, don't try and fool, you know, perpetrate the fraud on air and then be some totally different D-bag off the air. That just doesn't fly.
Yeah, that's what I was like, dude, this guy's a phony. You know who's not a phony? The late, great Stuart Scott. Awesome guy.
And on and off the air?
Yeah, Stu Scott was great.
I never got a chance to
I didn't know him personally. My story is when the Super Bowl was here the first time in 2004,
I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I was a freshman at UTSA at that point. And I came down. I was like, I just got to be here, right? Like, it's Super Bowl. And we went to watch a taping of SportsCenter at Discovery Green. Mm-hmm. And it was freezing cold. We're lining up just to watch Stuart Scott. At this point, like, 2000s SportsCenter, these guys are kings. Right? They're the coolest guys.
Everybody knows them, recognizes them.
The other side of the pillow.
Yeah, like, it was, that's Stuart Scott. And I had a football with me. I didn't see any NFL players. I just wanted to get an autograph. So I was like, Stu, can you sign my football? And I threw it to him. He signed it. He was great. Came over, said hi. And I told him, one day I'm going to work at ESPN.
Little did you know it was Gal Media, ESPN Radio.
Hey, man, Stu, if you're listening, I'm at ESPN Houston, locally. But he was great. Super nice guy.
Good to hear. All right, well, we got 90 in the books, 90 still to go on the big show. Don't go anywhere. Second half's around the corner. It's ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It is The Usual Suspects as we head to the second half. It's Nick, it's Joel, and of course, Barry out, so that means Raheel's in. We appreciate him having some fun here on a Thursday. So we were talking before the break about, someone asked about, with the Sports Center people, about Michelle Beadle. And you and I were talking about the fact that in a lot of cases, these people don't get a break when they're in season. So for Berman, it was football season. Or for Carl Ravitch, it's baseball season. So when you get to a certain point after your season is over, they kind of put you on hiatus, for a better, lack of a better term, just so that they can recharge the batteries as a talent. It's kind of like where I don't agree with it, but I get it, where AT&T Sportsnet, in season, Jeff Blum, Julia Morales, and Todd Kallas have to take either a road trip or a couple series off during the season because they don't want them to get stale and because they want them to be, you know, not working and grinding because the baseball schedule is so long. I get it. I don't like it because as much as I like Kevin Eschenfelter as both a person and I think he's a very quality broadcaster and I think he does a nice job on play-by-play, but I get used to Kallas and TK and Blummer and it's different when they're not there.
Yeah, it's one of those grinds and I talk to Julia about this all the time. Like, how do you stay sane? And for her, you know, she hey, I'm going to go for a morning run and I know at this city I have this to look forward to or that to do and you just kind of stay sane. But I saw her, she has her days off right now. She's just relaxing, getting her grind on, like working out, making sure everything's good and like just around the house also.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just like when you're not home that long or if you're
plus
at work.
Plus she's married to a ball player, so he's got a schedule too. So with her keeping the Astro schedule, it's got to be super tough.
Yeah, Matt is, I don't know if he's playing this year, but the past few seasons.
He's played overseas.
Mexico, Japan,
China,
everywhere. So yeah, it's crazy. But I think Michelle Beadle is just on her summer hiatus.
Are you a fan?
Yeah, I like Michelle Beadle.
I know.
You don't?
No, I said every time I see her, it looks like she was at the bar too late last night and just tried to disheveled, put it together and get on the air. She just, to me,
I like
does
that.
Nothing for me.
You know what? She's like, this is me. I'm not going to glam up.
I like Sage Steele. I like when Sage Steele
No, I think that's the problem. She tries to glam up. She just didn't age well. I think that's what it is.
And I like her. I like her story also, how she...
She was in San Antonio.
San Antonio was the
She was on the production crew. She used to sit in the truck with us.
Yeah. And she just worked her way up and is now at... ESPN doing their biggest show that they have in terms of money behind it, what it means.
Get up.
New York, they built a whole studio for it. You can see the bridge in the back, all that stuff.
Oh, it's an important show. Set.
Yeah, so I wish her the best of luck, man. I love it.
Yeah, I don't wish bad on anybody. It's just like we were talking about Berman too. Everybody has different tastes, and I'm just not a fan. So.
Yeah, I like the off air person is more important to me than on air.
Because
for the most
that.
Part, everyone on SportsCenter, they all doing the same job. You know, it's pretty much the same thing.
Trying to be entertaining a little bit.
Yeah.
Trying to get the content out there as soon as possible.
That's not game changing going on right now. So I like the backstory more. Like Michelle Beadle's backstory is interesting to me. Sage Steele to me, not a big fan.
You know? See, that's where we differ.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I thought Sage's had a chemistry and was very polished with the way she handled that show. So. Yeah, you go back and forth. Some people like Kerry Champion. Some people don't. Some people
I don't like Kerry
Jalen
Champion.
Rose.
Not because,
but we. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't like Kerry Champion. Nothing because of anything she did on or off or anything like that. I just don't like the way she presents. It's just a preference thing, like Joel says.
Okay. Right. Does anybody hate Rachel Nichols? Can we all just say like everyone loves Rachel Nichols, right?
I don't think Joel likes Rachel Nichols.
What?
She's a champion
for basketball.
Rachel Nichols. I know, Raheel, but at the same time, what used to annoy me about Rachel Nichols was, and Jeremy Schapp did this too. Everybody wants to try and make like in play by play, everybody has their signature call. Mm-hmm. Well, Rachel Nichols and Jeremy Schapp did the ESPN. I'm Rachel Nichols, ESPN. And it just annoyed the hell out of me to the point where
it's so fun. Take that away though. Do you like her?
She's okay.
The catchphrase?
I don't mind her at all.
You know, The Jump is actually one of the shows, and everyone loves to point out ESPN's ratings. Mm-hmm. The Jump is one of the shows that year over year, it has grown so much, and it's because the passion for basketball.
People hate on us for being passionate about basketball, but all three of us love basketball.
I love it. And Rachel's like, I like basketball. I like the people around it. And let's get a good crew. Let's get a good production staff and make this show just about basketball. We're not going to hit on other things. If the politics and basketball comes up, fine. But we, again, we're talking from a passionate host. No. And it's so much fun to watch. They care about the sport. At least that's what it seems
from
like, right?
From a did-you-know perspective, do you know someone that we all know that not only has a crush on Rachel Nichols, but literally gets flustered when she is around?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure.
Was a radio personality in this town, was in one of the premier jobs on radio in this town for a while, and is now just filling in at certain stations, maybe here.
Okay.
Doing other things. I'm not afraid to tell you because he'll admit it. He admitted it on the air when he filled in for Barry a few weeks ago.
Who?
Matt Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Matt Jackson thinks good. Rachel Nichols hung the moon.
Good.
And so we had Media Day one year when they were on 790. And so it was when the Rockets were getting good. And so there was a lot of national media. And I was trying to help those guys out by bringing guests over to them. And when I said, do you want Rachel Nichols? I mean, Matt turned Cougar Matt again. He was as red as the U of H colors. And when we sat her down, he literally almost couldn't talk. And it was him and Wex at the time, I think it was. But whoever was with him had to talk because he was just sitting there staring at him. And it was borderline creepy. But I always bring that up to him. And he's like, oh, I love her.
Good for him. I like a good celebrity crush.
That's kind of the way Nick is with Ramona Shelburne.
No, that would be a negative. That would be false.
That is
and
indeed
fake news.
False news.
Can I present this list to you guys real quickly?
Sure.
I'm sorry. You got 10 of the craziest NFL menu items. The Texans announced theirs yesterday. They did a free lunch for all the media.
Tasting?
Man, you know what we love in the media? Free lunch.
Did you go?
Absolutely.
No, I didn't go. Okay. I didn't go. Unfortunately, I didn't have the time to, but I saw that a lot of our colleagues were there.
Oh, really?
And yeah, a lot of them were. And that's cool. It's a fun thing. You get to see what's on the menu for this season. You got Killen's Barbecue. You got Po' Boys and you got Ninfa's and all these great places, right? Well, for the win, the USA Today site has compiled a list of 10 of the most outrageous foods. You know, like we're now in our culture and society, you got to get outrageous food. Man versus food.
Something unique.
Yeah.
Different.
Hey, here's a really good cheeseburger. Or 7-patty cheeseburger with bacon buns. Like, you got to get outrageous, right? So here are some of them from NFL stadiums only. Tell me if you guys would try this out, yes or no. Dungeness crab pretzel bun roll sandwich deal. It's just a pretzel bread crab salad almost at the Niners. That's not too outrageous.
It'd be a negative
for me.
It
seems like a Niner type thing.
Yeah, a fresh seafood.
If I'm
there.
Going to the ball game, though, I'm not eating a Dungeness crab sandwich.
Yeah, I'll pass on that.
Okay. Fried PB&J at the Buffalo Bills.
I'll definitely eat that.
Fried
yes,
PB&J.
Yes, I would definitely eat that.
I will definitely eat that. The first time I'll I ever pass. Had it was at Texas A&M when I was at the Alabama A&M game like 2-3 years ago, and it was amazing.
How do you make it quickly?
I didn't make it.
No. I'm just, quickly, you have 5 minutes to make a PB&J. How are you making it?
What are you talking about?
Yeah, tell me how you make it.
Just grab two pieces of bread, load it up with peanut butter, put some jelly on it, slap it together, and I'm done.
You're going basic. Yeah. No upgrades.
What do you mean upgrades?
I'm going basic. I don't know.
You're going basic.
Yeah, so what are your upgrades?
What are you leading into here?
You guys don't upgrade yours?
How do you
What's
upgrade a
upgrade?
Peanut butter
so
and jelly
You take a basic
sandwich.
One, and then you get a pan out, and then you fry it.
No.
You put that a little actually, butter. Put a little like butter. A little butter. A little butter.
Nick,
maybe
you
go
know,
coconut
you know,
oil.
You know where he is? He's going to do what Barry does. He's going to eat a hamburger with peanut butter.
Oh,
no,
see, that's
no,
just
no.
dumb. Now,
no,
that's
I'm just
saying
a PBJ. I agree with you, Nick. That's plain
PBJ.
Stupid.
If I have 5 minutes, if it's quick, I just want to get
basic. So you're making
basic.
Like a grilled cheese, but it's peanut butter and jelly?
Try it.
No, thank you.
I'm okay with that, actually.
Dude,
I'm,
the peanut butter is perfectly warm. The jelly doesn't get too cold or doesn't get too hot.
I've never had it's warm good. Jelly or peanut butter, but it wouldn't bother me. I think I would try it.
I'll pass. Keep going.
The Red Zone Bratwurst at the Cleveland Browns. It's just a brat with big pickles on it. I don't know what's outrageous about this.
What do you like more, Raheel, the brat or the pickles?
I like the brat.
Okay.
Get a nice brat, man. Dessert nachos at the Detroit Lions?
No.
It's a graham cracker nachos with a bunch of chocolate, marshmallows.
Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, it's a nice.
I thought it was going to be like nacho chips with dessert on it. I'm like, nah,
No, it's a fried tortilla chips dusted with cinnamon and sugar, topped with smoked chocolate cherry Nutella sauce.
Yeah, that's good.
That's not bad.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Jambalaya at the Jaguars. That's not outrageous.
Yeah, I'm just going to let him get through his list. How much? Yeah. There's not. It can't be that long.
Couple more.
Yeah.
Battle Red Tacos at the Houston Texans,
right?
Yeah.
No.
Nothing too outrageous. I don't see anything on here that's really outrageous.
I don't want red in my tacos unless it's tomatoes. Other than that, I'm good.
How about this? The Pitbull, which is a foot-long all-beef hot dog with mustard, plenty of pit beef, and the Italian relish. What is it called?
I don't know. Italian relish?
No, the hot peppers.
I don't know.
All right. Well, it's from your area.
No, it isn't.
Hot peppers isn't a, it's not a Midwest thing?
No, sauerkraut and things like that on bratwurst.
It's a Chicago thing.
Maybe.
Chicago thing for sure, because on the hot beef, you get the peppers.
Okay.
I forgot what it's called. That's like the most outrageous one. I don't think it's too outrageous.
No.
Yeah. The what?
Are they called burr pea seeds?
No. No.
Talking about the red peppers and green peppers, sauteed peppers? Or are you talking about like there's a sauce?
No, it's like a relish you put on top. The hot peppers.
I don't know what that is.
You've had an Italian hot beef, right, in Chicago?
Yeah.
Where they dip it in the au jus and all that.
Right, right.
And then it's the peppers you put on top. Man, it's good. Mm. I'll just call them hot peppers.
Okay, we'll call them hot peppers.
Yeah.
This from OU Mike, by the way, before we go to break. Just left the man center. I am no longer OU Mike. Please refer to me as Lethal Weapon.
Nice.
There you go.
Got it, OU Mike.
We're still ticked off that you hung up on us.
Go lay it down, OU Mike.
We were hoping the Man Center would give you some new nuts so you have the nuts to stay on hold long enough to be on the show when we want you to be. How about that? All right, we'll be back with more. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects. Before we get back into it with Raheel, Nick, and myself, I do want to tell you guys about Gallery Furniture. If you're looking for furniture for any room in your house, there's only one place to go, and it's Gallery Furniture. Actually, there's three places to go because they now have three locations to better serve you. Grant Parkway between Katy and Sugarland, the Galleria area, and, of course, I-45 North exit Tidwell Park are both ways, where regardless of which one of the three locations you hit up, you get the same deal, same great customer service, and the same things that they say is exactly what they're going to do, which means you buy today, you get it tonight. There's no back order slips. Whatever you see on the showroom floor that you pick out and say would look great in your house, it'll be at your doorstep within 3 to 4 hours. The delivery guys are going to make sure that when they deliver the new furniture, if you need furniture rearranged and put in other rooms, they'll help you out there. You want furniture taken away and gotten rid of, they'll take care of you there. In some cases, when they say, is there anything else we can do for you? We've had people say, would you walk my dog? They even walk your dog. They do things because Mac wants to make an indelible impression that makes sure that anytime you think of customer service and great, great furniture, you think of Gallery Furniture. Also, what Max says is exactly what they're going to do, which means the Astros deal is back again. If you buy $3,000 or more worth of Gallery Furniture, bedroom furniture, including brands like Tempur-Pedic, and if the Astros win it all at the end of the year, you get it all for free. That is another great deal. And Mac just likes taking care of people in the Houston community, but what he says is exactly what they're going to do, which means all the furniture is solid wood, last a long time furniture from brands like Stickley, leather and upholstered furniture, and there's no back order slips, as I mentioned. But the most important thing that he lives every single day by as a motto, Gallery really will save you money. So consider going to Gallery Furniture. I get all my furniture there. I love it. We're back. It's Nick. It's Raheel. It's myself. Someone asked on, and I actually had it on the rundown, but someone asked, speaking of ESPN, Josh and Beaumont said, what happened to Bob Lee? Is there something going on behind the scenes? No, it's kind of he wanted more time than even he got because Bob Lee, when he was a SportsCenter anchor, he would get those like hiatuses as well. Mm-hmm. But when he started taking over Outside the Lines and things like that, there were no more breaks. So he just said he's going to take 6 months off to charge his batteries and kind of relax. ESPN fully supported it because he's one of the guys that have been there since the jump. Mm-hmm. So he's going to take some time off. He'll be back.
Anytime Bob Lee or Jeremy Schapp show up to your place, you're in trouble.
Yeah, look.
They're about
to
blow the lid off of something. E60 comes rolling.
Yeah.
You better be careful. What'd you do? Just saying, leave it at that, man. They will get you.
That's a good question. Someone asked that. Have you ever met anyone who likes Skip Bayless? I have not.
I've heard really good things about him.
Nick and I and Barry saw him at the Super Bowl.
I feel like he
acts like a first-class a-hole.
Good.
Didn't see that part. He was rude to us at Super Bowl?
Not to us personally, but I saw him big time in people, and he had his sunglasses on and pushing people away. It's like, and then what I really don't like is he intentionally trolls people. I mean, the tweets that look like they're coming legitimately with an opinion from him are just to stir up reaction.
Yeah.
And that annoys me.
He knows how his bread's buttered, man.
Skip. I think there's one guy on the planet that likes him, Skip. I think I know that person would be his co-host, Skip.
Shannon?
Yes.
Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp likes him from Skip.
Would you guys do that job?
Heck yeah.
Right?
Why not?
Absolutely.
But you got to pay me like Skip.
I think because
are you a Nick Wright fan?
I like what he's done.
You can't fault the hustle. The fact that he's gotten to where he's gotten, I've just never been a fan.
Yeah, dude made his way up to the point where he's one of the building blocks for a network. That's pretty dope, man.
Well, he's waiting in the wings for any of those gigs.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about it.
Good for him, man.
Yeah, he's definitely the heir apparent to some degree.
And one of my mentors and, you know, the guy that coached me growing up in basketball, Sam, he is really good friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he speaks the world of him.
Really?
He's like, this dude is one of the nicest guys, all that stuff. So
yeah, when he was here, Josh and I had a back and forth on an issue we were passionate about, and he decided to not only get involved in it, but to call me my name out on the air. And I said, bro, we've never met. You don't know me, and my name should never come out of your mouth. And he was like, well, maybe we should go to lunch. And I go, I think we're a little past that. You know, when you start off that way,
that's
a bad foot, and I don't know that we ever get on proper ground after that. So I kind of just was like, yeah, I'm done.
Man.
I don't know where to go. What makes the world go around? We both have different sides of a lot of things.
No, but I had nothing like funny or segue, so I just kind of looked at you. It was awkward on my part.
Does he have a face for radio, though?
Hey, man, you don't have to. You got to have talent.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just asking a question. I didn't throw an opinion. I buried you on that one.
Yeah, you're setting me up to fail.
No. Not B-U-R-R-I-E-D. I buried you.
Laminat.
Barry Laminat, because he'll do that. He'll throw things at us that he will never answer himself.
And I'll just, whatever. I won't answer it.
We do that all the time. I mean, sometimes you're done, like, giving an opinion, kind of like when you were talking about when you agreed with Joel. Like, I had nothing to add to that. So
it's a good end.
But Lamelak likes to bust his balls about a lot of that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And then that's why I have to finally go back and go, Barry, what's your side on that? And then he'll be like, well, I asked you. And I'm like, no, but I asked you.
Texans Niners practice today. By the way, sportsmap.com, 11 observations from Cody Stutes. He's out there at practices, and he has some good stuff, man. Good day for the defense. Watson was looking nice. And preseason game number 2 this Saturday at NRG. So it's a preseason for all the tailgaters also, Joe.
We're all going, right?
I mean, here's the thing.
I'm not.
Are you going to the game Saturday?
Actually, Nick?
Only
because someone offered me. Otherwise, I would
A ticket? Because Lord knows you don't have a press pass.
Well, I think they're doing they're going to tailgate a little bit first.
Oh,
so.
Then you're in.
If there's alcohol, you're done.
Yeah, done deal.
I can't
right
believe
there.
Hill doesn't drink, but.
I don't either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I go straight to the hard stuff.
Which is?
Coke. I'm joking.
Coca-Cola, you mean?
Yeah. Not even Coke. Not even Coca-Cola. I go Coke Zero because I'm that shallow.
We do
calories, bro.
Calories.
You and Laminag, dude.
At calories, our house, bro. We go Coke Zero.
Really?
Calories. Yeah, my wife is all about it.
Delicious. Yeah. The only other carbonated drink that could compete with Coke Zero is the raspberry ginger ale.
You lost me at raspberry.
I think it's raspberry. It's some kind of berry ginger ale. It's zero calories also.
Berry
zero sugars.
Ginger ale?
Damn, son. So good.
Yeah, I'm not big on raspberry and soda either. So I'm like cherry Coke,
okay,
too. That's
some.
Something I wouldn't.
Even if you bring it to me, it doesn't mean I'm going to drink it.
It's a nectar of the gods.
Oh, stop it. Someone said, whose invitation to appear would you take first, Bob Lee or Maury Povich?
Ooh, Bob Lee.
Yeah, Bob Lee for sure.
I don't
there's a chance it's a good thing because the E60s, they do good stuff too.
Yeah, but it depends. Is it E60 Bob Lee or outside the lines Bob Lee? Because if it's outside the lines Bob Lee, it's never good.
No, that's true.
Maury, I don't want any of that.
It's an in-depth inquiry into doing something wrong.
Yep.
Yeah, and by the way, 936 ending in 6393. I says Joel always gets butt hurt. How did I get butt hurt? Who cares? Let's let it go. We have differences in opinions every day. Yeah. It's what makes the world go round. If your world doesn't go around, look in the mirror, Chief. Stop maybe, looking at me.
Maybe he's like, you did a heavy legs day yesterday and you're just actually sore. What if you meant that? Like your butt's hurting because you're sore from a good workout yesterday. Squats
day. I'm pretty sure it's not where he was going with that.
I'm just trying to save the guy.
Well, there's some people aren't worth saving, okay?
Dang.
Pull the dinghy and let's go. All right, we got an hour to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. We'll be joined by Sports Map 94.1 next and finish strong in the final hour of the show.